Everyone, big round of applause. Robin Bailey, one great week job. Down, still yay! Here.
Well played. Top education.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And you got to be here for our favourite topic, most gruesome sports injury.
Oh,
that
man,
was good fun.
That was awful. That guy with his wedding ring finger, like, really?
Oh, that was gross. That was gross, but it was good fun. Some Roy and HG for you as well. They got their new show on Triple M Martoo.
What about fuel strategy? How you go dealing with these huge fuel prices? People tell you why and how they do it.
And the Lord Mayor finally settles the argument. Is it illegal and should you be fined for putting grass clippings on top of a dog poo that you should be picking up, Marto?
Yeah, Marto.
Oh, one time.
Yeah, one time. 100 times.
Rarity.
Enjoy the catch up.
Hey, guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away. But what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts. There's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now, and let's get into the podcast.
Hey, now, listen, I know not many of you are going to work, but it's a surprise you're out there. Hey, but when you get there, the first thing you want to check out is something that the TV stations won't be putting on. I haven't seen any of them put it on. But it was the New Zealand Breakers, the New Zealand basketball team. They're playing the Cairns Taipans in the NBA. NBL.
NBL, yeah.
NBL, the Australian one. Jeez, that always gets me. But one of the New Zealand Breakers players, his name was, let me
remember. Akil Mitchell. Akil, A-K-I-L.
Yeah, I had trouble with that one. Mitchell. And he went up, he was operating under the basket, went up once, went up twice, and then the third time, one of the Taipans has just caught the corner of his eye. I've just looked at it again. All right, his eyeball's come out. That's all I'll need to say.
They
saw it for the first time this morning at 5. I've watched it a couple of times and icked myself out. We've got an eyeball loose. Well, it's still attached.
It's just moved away from the microphone. You don't want to see any of it.
I know. But quite simply, that's the sort of stuff that happens. That was just one loose finger from that Cairns guy, just flicked him, and it's enough to pop the eyeball outish. Oh, should we have got the commentary?
Yeah.
Oh, we need medical right now.
And no ref saw it.
His eyeball has popped out of his socket.
Oh, my God.
That is horrific. We need medical staff to come and look. His eyeball is out.
Horrific.
Horrific.
it's horrific. No, seriously, it's horrific. No. Stop laughing, everybody. No, horrific. Get Dave Dobbin to stop playing. This is
horrific.
This is horrific. Oh, it's awful, isn't it?
Did they pop it back in?
Oh, no.
They popped it back in, didn't they? Is that how it works? Is it like a knee or something that you pop that you just pop it back?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
He's doing okay, apparently.
He's doing okay?
In hospital, yep.
And he'll be able to see again?
Oh, we'd hope so.
He's had a terrific recovery. It was a horrific injury, and he's had a terrific recovery.
You know what? Because I did a cross in New Zealand this morning. They always want to talk rugby once twice a week, despite the fact there's no rugby season
yet. Rugby they want to do. That's right. But they always want to have a yard. So.
Desperate. No, they want to talk about the upcoming rugby season, but they started with that. And then they started asking what's the goriest thing you saw on a footy field. And I started telling them about the broken ankle. Well, I said I'll start at the feet and work my way to the head. Broken ankle, completely rotated, facing the other way, like a poltergeist ankle.
Not yours.
Not mine, no. But things, you wander over and go, I wonder what happened to that guy. Or you've heard a large crack and next thing you know, there's a bone sticking out of leg.
Saw
that one out through the skin, had the shin bone. Now, there's a big bone. Shin bone. And then I said I saw a dislocated hip and I saw two blokes with their feet like that trying to pop a hip back in. Oh, mate, where do you stop? Oh, ribs are a dime a dozen and a lot of head wounds.
Okay,
this is the game we're playing.
Come on, let's play it. Come on, Robin.
You say, so what happened?
All right,
Jesus.
All right, so what is it? What's the goriest
sporting injury? Sporting injury? Yeah, not work, because that's easy.
Sporting injury that you've either seen or that you've had yourself. Glorious sporting injuries, your own or someone else's. Graham's up first. Graham, who was it? What happened?
It was my son doing motocross, popped his hip out backwards.
Backwards?
What does that mean?
That's all over
most
there.
Most of the times it goes out forward.
Yeah, right. And across.
This time, they don't see it very often, it went out backwards.
So did they have to pop it back?
Yes.
Oh.
When they were trying to take his boot off, you could see his leg going backwards and forwards.
Oh, my Lord.
Is he all right and does he still do motocross?
Yeah, he still races motocross.
Yeah, did you get it on video, though?
Nah.
Okay. Well done, Graham. You're in the running, buddy. That's unbelievable. That's Neil's from Wishart. All right, Neil. Who was it? What happened?
Hang on. I played rugby league
12, 13 years ago, and this little winger of ours got tackled, and his kneecap was fully out of his skin, out the side.
Out of the skin, on the side. Hey, that's not meant to be there. Whoa. No.
You know the responding medical officer, I'm thinking it wasn't in NRL. So did you have someone qualified or just a local panel beater?
We had first aid officers and that there. So
what did they do? Retired? What did they do?
They just dragged them off the side of the field and got the ambulance because it was too much for them to handle.
Oh, yeah. Too much for them.
He was only a winger. It's play
awful.
On.
Ray of St. Lucia, ooh. Grossest sporting injury. What's it been?
Look, I played Australian Rules football years ago.
Okay.
And I come running up behind this pack to take the mark.
Specky.
The guy in front of me propped. My knees have gone over his shoulders. Then he's tried to duck back.
Oh, no.
And inadvertently, I grabbed him just with my knees. We both hit the ground.
Oh.
And my knee went through the side of his nose and his front teeth and took his teeth and he broke his nose.
Oh.
And pushed my knee completely off. My kneecap was completely off my knee, off to the side.
Like Daffy Duck's beak.
I was lying on the ground in a bit of pain and I popped my knee back in just before I passed out.
Oh, Ray.
Mate, are you all right now? Can you walk out?
No, I don't think I'll ever be all right, but my knee's better.
Jeez, Ray.
Ray, just bring it in close here, just you and I. That noise when you broke his nose, do you remember it?
Oh, it was just a crunch.
Yeah,
and it was as the nose and the teeth went. Mm. And I felt sorry for him until I looked down and realised
that
I had this big kneecap out the side of my leg.
Oh. All right, Ray.
Who started this? Sorry,
yeah,
did I start this?
You started this.
Sorry.
You did. Bruce of Manly.
We've got time for one more, though.
Yes, go on. Bruce of Manly.
Yeah. Hey, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good,
hey,
mate.
That's right. Yeah, well, I was a goalkeeper in soccer, and just prior to kickoff, I noticed that one of the nets were just hanging off the hook, so I decided to jump up and clip the net over the hook, and my wedding ring got caught in the hook, and I ripped my finger off.
No.
Yeah, it was pretty painful, so the ref was ready to blow the whistle, and I said, hang on.
My fingers come off.
pardon the pun there, Ed, but and then anyway, so I reached down to pick the finger up with the finger that was missing the finger, and I thought, oh no, the blood's flying out everywhere, so I keep the finger above the heart. So then I picked the finger up and I gave it to the slowest bloke of the team and said, quick, run this down. I gave him all the directions, you know.
Put the finger
in a bag of ice separate to the bag, you know, da 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 da.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Anyway, but what it was a degloving and the bone was still there.
Oh, so your finger scalping.
All the tendons and ligaments were hanging out.
Oh, mate.
Did they save the finger?
Actually, I did keep the finger, and I was really surprised in hospital when they said they couldn't put it back on because it looked so good. I thought, it'll be easy. But anyway, they did 4-hour surgery, and the funniest thing was mates turned up after the game and said, Bracey, we won.
Yeah, we got a new goalie.
And one of the boys, we got a new goalie, and they put a packet of Scotch finger biscuits on the table.
Oh, that's good. You win, Bruce. Give him something, please.
Yeah, please give this, mate. But Brandon. I also, did you keep the ring? Did you find your wedding ring?
Yeah, kept the ring. Yeah, unfortunately, my wife melted it down and made a nice ring out of it for herself with all the diamonds.
Good stuff.
That's it.
Bruce, it might be a bit hard to wash your car yourself these days, so Hobby's Hand Wash Cafe, let them do it for you.
But every game after that, we won 5-4. They used to always turn around and go, Brucey, what was the score? Boom, boom.
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this, just for you, for listening right now, Ovo will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract and Ovo will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
Obviously, Robin, yesterday it was the most barbecued day in Australia, and everyone would be, I guess, waking up today and thinking to themselves, geez, that was a good barbecue.
Top day.
Probably go and clean that barbecue straight away, because I always clean it straight away after.
Yeah, no, they don't. No, they don't. 60% of Australians do not clean their barbecues.
60%? Well, at all?
Well, some do. There's like 30% that'll do it like a couple of times a year.
Oh, my gosh.
How often do you clean your barbecue, Marto?
You clean the actual top of it every time after you clean it.
Yeah, no. That's what they're saying.
And then you wipe it down, then you give it a little bit of oil.
Oh, so
away
you do it every time. 58% of Australians do not clean their barbecue.
I do it four nights a week.
I
barbecue, Kath might ring up here. I'll throw that down to three nights a week. All right. I'll be sent out.
Yeah, just remember
barbie.
She can listen.
But I'll do breakfast on the weekend and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But Australians aren't cleaning their barbecues.
What do you mean they're not cleaning it?
They're not cleaning it. They use it, they walk away, they get caught up in something else, and they don't clean their barbecue. And in fact, the statistic is 58% of Australians are only cleaning it one or two times a year.
Before they do it the next time, are they cleaning it?
No, they're not.
Oh dear.
So what about your father-in-law?
My father-in-law had a situation once where he opened, they've got his big sort of barbecue, and he opened the lid of it. Yeah. And there was a furry friend that had passed away on the...
A possum or a rat or a cat?
It was a buffalo. No, it was a... It was a rat. It was a rat.
Oh.
A rat.
So what do you do? Just put it on roast and away you go.
Shish kebabs.
But the problem is that you can get lots of really dodgy
barbecue.
Things that happen to your insides, and people would think that they've had too much to drink, but in fact it can be the fact that your barbecue's not cleaned.
Really interesting.
Mind you, as a single mum who try and force my children to use the barbecue because then I don't have to, I also Googled just how do you correctly clean a barbecue. It's a 14-point plan, people. One of the points is run the barbecue grill on high for 15 minutes to burn off any remaining soap or water.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's why you don't clean it.
No, that's why no one can be bothered. Marta, you gave us an incredible statistic about those. A lot of people were using yesterday those public barbecues, and they're such a wonderful institution. Everywhere you see there's public barbecues. But I believe you have, just to reiterate, a little word of warning for anyone who's hoping to use one of those.
People wee on them. And birds wee on them, and animals and possums wee on them,
but
and poo on them.
You said that when we started the show, and none of us, the rest of us in the studio here, did not know that statistic. So that then now makes me feel that it is you who have weed on a barbecue in the past.
Never me, I would never do that. I wouldn't do that. No, I'm just saying that's what you got to be careful of.
How do you know then? Have you seen blokes wee on a barbecue, and why?
I'm just guessing they do, don't they?
I don't think so. You're the only one that brought that in, so.
I bet you they do. Well, all right, if you ask me. One day I saw a poo at the skateboard park. You know the one down here near your place?
I know.
It was
one,
disgraceful. I told you about that. It was a human one. It was a disgrace.
I understand.
All right,
mate.
That's what I base it on. This is what people are doing late at night thinking it's hilarious.
Clean your barbecues. Don't poo in the skate park.
Don't you dare poo anymore.
That is your take home message for today.
Oh, mate, you're trying to do an Ollie. Next thing you know, your wheels are all clogged up, going, oh, not again.
Well, it was important to keep your barbecue clean.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely right.
58% of people confess to cooking for friends on a filthy barbecue and only cleaning their barbecue one or two times a year.
All right. Well, hold it right there. Reg from Everton Park, you reckon you've got a method that can fix this?
Certainly have.
Yep.
Put down baking paper. Baking paper on barbecues when you go into the parks and everything.
Yep.
You've created a barrier between the heat and your food.
Reg, do you know they sell them, the barbecue mats, or they call them Teflon grilling sheets or whatever they call them? A lot of brands, you know, there's actual ones they sell?
Yeah, that's correct.
But
you can just use baking paper.
Baking paper's
so
cheap.
And it doesn't ignite because it's got that covering on it for baking.
Yep.
For baking, because it's good for the oven. Hey, Reg, do you reckon people wee on those ones that are in the parks?
Marto, I've done a lot of FIFO work, and some of the cleaners used to tell me they would never cook on them.
Oh.
Hence why I went and got some baking paper.
Yep.
There you go.
Thank you, Reg.
Man. Well done, Reg.
God, I can't believe Marto was right.
I just wanted to see if you ever been to Paddington Skateboard Park.
Yeah. Boys, I need some advice, because I'm not sure if this is a girl thing and a boy thing, or if it's just a people thing, or if it's a me thing.
Okay.
But over the Christmas period, I have one relative who will remain nameless, because I don't necessarily think it's fair, although he will know who he is when he hears this, chooses to kiss all of us who are not intimately involved with him when he says hello. He kisses us on the lips.
Right on.
No.
And ooh. I did say, good. Okay. I find it awkward.
Yeah.
I find it weird.
It's not just you.
Okay, really?
Oh, God, no. That's weird.
So who do you kiss on the lips? Motto definitive. Who do you kiss on the lips?
Your partner or babies. Or your babies. Your own babies. They're the only people, you know, when they're little, you go, ooh, 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 ooh.
Yeah, that's right.
That's about it. Your babies, not someone else.
Okay, when do you stop kissing them? When they can walk? Because I was thinking about, like, and I have three sons. So. They're 16, 14, and 12.
Oh, yeah, you're pulling up there.
They don't even want to be in the same room with me, let alone trying to be touching me in any way, shape, or form. Yes. So trying to kiss them anywhere is pretty tough, unless I throw the kiss at them.
but you hit it back. You guys hit it back to me. There's no way there's anyone apart from your intimate partner who you should be kissing on the lips, correct?
Well, that's what I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think?
You would hope so. But I've had I had a situation where it was one of the two main factors that ended up with me and this girl. We were going out and we broke up over a huge argument we had one day after I witnessed some kissing on the lips between her and one of her relatives, and she just couldn't understand why I was being, as she said, so weird about it.
That's their family.
Okay,
thing,
okay, no, no, no. It was just a peck.
No. I'll tell you now then. She had her and her father, whenever they saw each other, and she was, you know, in her 20s at this time, they had this little routine that they did. So he would walk up to her and she would walk up to him and kiss him twice on the lips, one on each cheek, and then he would kiss her on the forehead and then they would kiss each other on the lips again.
Whoa.
And I said, you know that's sick, yeah? You know what's happening?
It's not just a high five and give you one down low as well. It's not that. That's something.
Okay, because I get a little, when it's a father-daughter thing and they've probably been doing it their entire lives, maybe that's cute?
No, that's sick. And I said, you guys have got a routine. And she was ropeable. How dare you? It's a beautiful thing between me and my dad. And I'm like, the phrase beautiful thing between me and my dad, like, you're not helping yourself. This is just getting worse and worse. And I said, when does it end? When would this end? And she said, why would it end?
Why would it end? Yeah.
And you're out.
We're different people.
Okay, but there are a lot of people that kiss on the lips. So lips.
Is there?
Yeah, there were. I've had it happen before. I've had it where, in fact, I've had a boss once who's gone in for the lip kiss when you're saying
Christmas
hello.
Party?
No, he wasn't drunk. He does it all the time. I think it's one of those things that needs a definitive answer, Chris of Redcliffe.
Yeah, g'day. Yeah, how's it going, guys?
Yeah, good, mate.
Yeah, good, mate.
Yeah, now I find Robin's situation a little bit quite confronting, but I kiss my mother and my grandmother on the lips. It's a Welsh tradition.
Oh, it's a Welsh thing, is it?
It's all your fault.
Yeah. Yeah. So all the matriarchy of the family, you give them a kiss on the lips. Obviously, you know, no tongue in there, no hair.
I'm so glad you pointed that out.
I'll write that down.
Yeah, but I've got a photo in my mum's lounge room of me giving my mum a kiss with me in my former officer's uniform. I'm 6'10" and about 120 kilos, and she's about four foot eight.
Does she or your auntie do it to everywhere, every young man or what?
Yeah, my aunts do it to their sons and every male in the family. That's fine.
All right, there you go. So it's a Welsh thing, Chris. Yeah. So it's a Welsh tradition. There we asked for culture and we've got culture. Excellent. All right, well done, Chris. There we go.
And also it means what I'm getting from that too, though, is that if you are okay with it within your family, who cares? If you don't know that it's going to happen... It feels dodgy. Kylie of Brendale, who do you kiss on the lips?
Well, I don't, but my dad was doing it, and then it didn't seem too wrong, but then I got married, and about 5 years into my marriage, I had to have the conversation. I said, Dad, my lips are for my husband. I can't have you kiss me on the lips anymore.
So this was a thing that came from your childhood. Your dad had always given you a kiss on the lips.
Well, no, not really. It sort of started when I was teenage years and that's what sort of threw me.
Fair enough. Too. None of us actually know what to say about that. No, so how do you?
Yeah. And then the funny thing is, my son, who's now 12, he started doing it for 3 or 4 years ago, and then that was making me feel uncomfortable as well. Because same thing, you sort of it's like you don't do it, and I had to have the conversation with him and say, yeah, no, this is not right, Dallum. We'll just keep it on the cheeks, and your lips are special for the special person when you get older.
Yeah, that's great message.
And did both the men that you had to say that to, did they both accept it? Like, was your dad okay with that?
Oh, he was really uncomfortable. But it's funny, when Chris said that it was a... My dad's from Scotland, so I was curious then when he said Welsh. I'm thinking, I wonder if that's part of Scottish thing as well.
Oh, it's a Celtic thing. It's more broad than just Wales.
Mate, I
like what you're doing there. If we've got some callers from the Isle of Man or from Northern Ireland, then we really need to speak to you. I know I'm getting it. I know I'm mixing my
kids. I don't know how they're kissing. They barely let me drop them off in a car out the front of the school. Like, I had to go around the corner. What is all this? Josh from Bracken Ridge, has it happened to you too?
Yes, it's happened with my daughter. She's now 3, but the question came up when she was 2. To start off, I'm not Scottish or Welsh, by the way.
So okay, good declaration, Josh.
All right, good.
She asked me and my wife the question, why don't you kiss me on the lips? And we said to her that kissing on the lips is we think is reserved for people who are in love with each other, who care a lot about each other. And so if you want to kiss somebody on the lips, you have to make that decision to do it yourself. We've been raising her to respect her own body, and if she doesn't want to kiss someone on the lips, us, anybody else, she has the right to say no.
Hear, hear, Josh. Wow. Look at you go.
In Frozen, do they kiss on the lips? The movie?
Oh,
she says a big question.
Oh, no, actually, you know what? This moves into another topic. Yeah. I believe that the reindeer? Yeah. I think that the reindeer might kiss the bloke that he hangs around with on the lips.
Oh, dear
me. Yeah, I think he does.
So
actually,
that's a topic for another day. Cross-species lip kissing.
Well, isn't it?
But they let it go.
Let's do that in the wrong show at midnight one night. Alicia from Bulimba, what's your ruling?
Oh, you do not kiss on the lips.
No, I didn't.
We had a family friend, and there's 5 sisters in my family, so we used to always run away from him, and we still do when we're in our 50s. And it's always a big joke as to which one of us gets caught, because if you're quick enough, you end up with a wet ear.
Oh, the wet willy.
Alicia, thank you.
Oh,
yep.
Graham Quirk. G'day, Quirky.
Yeah, good morning to you, Ed. Good morning, Mato. Hey, and mate, a very big welcome to you, Robin.
Aw, thank
you. Lovely. All right, Quirky, let's get to the matter at hand, because we've been having a lot of chats in here about bin etiquette. Robin brought it up, and Mato was talking about it as well, about if when the bins go out, are you allowed to put some of your rubbish in your neighbour's bin if their bin is not full? Now, as officially the Lord Mayor of Brisbane, is that okay, Mr. Quirk?
Well, let's put it this way. There is no fine associated with doing that. I think there was a bit of a chatter around on social media that there was a fine. Well, there is no fine. But I guess, look, it's a case of good manners and that, isn't it? I mean, it's a bit rude to probably just go and sort of stick your rubbish into somebody else's wheelie bin. If you're overflowing, you know, it wouldn't hurt to perhaps just check with the neighbour and see, look, have you got a bit of spare space? Do you mind if I pop a bit in? Or whatever, the old, you know, common courtesy thing.
Graham, do you ever play Scrabble?
Yeah, I know about Scrabble.
Well, you know when you put your letters down and they're down, if your fingers stop touching them, you can't touch them again. That's how your bin is. You put it on the street there, you've declared your hand, done, I'm done, I'm out. And if you've got room, it's on for young and old.
Well, that's true. It's on public property. That's certainly the case. and that's why, you know, there's no fine associated with it.
Can you get 2 bins?
Well, you can't get 2 bins unless you pay for 2 services, Robin. That's the reality. Okay. But, you know, if you've got, for example, there's a lot of stuff goes into general bins that is still capable of going into a recycling bin. Now, we've got the 340-litre recycling bins.
They're
and
beauties too, Graham.
Yes,
love
they
it.
Are. I love it too.
You like a beer. That's what you've been eating.
We certainly have no trouble, you know, getting our 340-litre bins for recycling to the brim by the end of the fortnight.
Mr. Quirk, yes. Let's go to another fine. There is a certain member of this Breakfast Radio team who proudly said that he or they have never picked up a dog dropping in their life of their own dog, that what they do is carry around a bucket of grass clippings and put grass clippings on top of that. Is there a
helping,
fine for that?
Helping our nature.
Yeah. Ooh, well, that's a no-no. No, the idea is you do have to have your little plastic bag and take it to Robin. Home. Yes.
Let's move on from that.
Hold on, there is one more on that one. What about if that bloke...
What you're doing is hiding the evidence by putting grass clippings on there, so we'll keep moving along there.
I'll change my ways. Let's go to the next one. Is that guy who said that he takes his dog for a walk and there's one person lives there, been out all week, and he puts his dog droppings in that bloke's bin. How's that?
There's one problem there. Yeah. If it's a general waste bin, he can put the dog droppings in.
Oh, good.
But the problem there is you can't leave your bin out all week.
That's that bloke's
the problem. You've got a 24-hour window with your bin, otherwise you are potentially able to be fined.
Okay, how much is that fine?
Yeah, how much is that one?
Well, we're talking a three-figure sum there, Robin. I can't remember the exact figure, but it's a three-figure sum.
Three-figure. All right, we've got one more for Mr. Quirk before we go.
Oh, you got into trouble. Yeah, you know about Nick Cave giving you a shout-out at the Riverside the other night, getting up you for not allowing them to play after 10 o'clock at night time because of concerns for residents. Have you been involved in that feud?
Well, he's not the first person that used a four-letter word on me, let me tell you. But
just to tell Robin, Graham, that Ed and Graham Quirk have been having a bit of a feud for a little while now.
It was all because he snubbed me on the set of Hoax. It's a long-running feud.
I just hope, Robin, they don't give you as much cheek as these blokes have given me over time over that.
Oh, mate, you give as good as you get. Don't worry.
So clearly not concerned about Nick Cave.
Well, I mean, look, the reality is that rule has been in place for a number of years now, a lot of years, in fact, and it's about trying to find this blend between city living and the concerts. Obviously, we have a lot of concerts down at River Stage. We have the same sort of rules apply at Suncorp Stadium in that it's limited to a number of events each year. Trying to find this mix between residential living and entertainment precincts, and it's not an easy one. And I'm sorry, Nick cut his sort of encore a little bit short, but
he cut a song in half.
Did he?
Yeah, he cut a song in half and then left. Checked his watch, and when it said 9:59, they left the stage reluctantly.
Who has five song encores?
That's a good point.
Bruce Springsteen.
I
reckon he made that one up, but anyway.
Jesus. All right, Lord Mayor Graham Quirk.
Let's not forget who's his cousin's son.
Jeff Horn.
The Hornets. Boxer. So everyone's scared of you. They think you're punchy now, Graham.
Lord Mayor Graham Quirk, thank you for joining us this morning, mate.
Yeah, good on you. Thanks very much, Ed, Marto and Robin.
A very interesting thing happened yesterday. My eldest son is 16. He's got 65 hours up on his L's, and he's desperate
for his
pens. All
legal, I better ask.
You know, all legal.
Genuine 65 hours?
Absolutely genuine 65 hours.
Yeah, so are my kids. Absolutely. Genuine, 100%.
But a lot of his mates have already got their P's, and one of them offered to drive me home quickly from a barbecue because I'd forgotten my togs and we're all going to jump in the pool. Okay. And he was a bit sheepish about it all because it's about the cost of petrol. Uh-huh. And I said, oh, mate, if you're okay to drive me, I'll give you $5 towards petrol. But it's a big deal.
It sure is.
And last night made even worse when I noticed this on Nine News.
Petrol prices look like staying high into the weekend. In Brisbane right now, unleaded averaging around $1.41 a litre, just a little more expensive on the Gold Coast.
You're right. The kids know more about it than anyone else. I had four of them in the car, all new P plate drivers, and they were talking about it. We went past a servo, it was $1.42, and they went, whoo. Like 17-year-old boys talking fuel on the way to a party.
Yeah, you're right.
And I said, well, what are you doing about it? And they already understand these fuel cycles. They don't understand why they exist. But
No one understands why they exist.
When it gets down to about $1.13, Marto, around $1.13 to $1.20, you fill up. But otherwise, you just put $10 or $15 in and while it's up this high. So that's what these kids are doing because dollar counts for kids this age. They got these part-time jobs paying $12 to $20 an hour.
Yeah.
It's hard work for them to put fuel in their tanks.
What is people's strategy? What is your fuel strategy? It won't just be kids. It's like, Marta, you know, we've spoken to people before about them spending over $100 a week because they have to fill up. They go through a tank of fuel a week. Some people almost go through two tanks of fuel.
I reckon there's some of our listeners driving from up or down the coast are taking two tanks a week. It's incredible.
That's a lot of money.
They can't have a fuel strategy, can they?
Well, they must. Everyone. Yeah. I mean, are you one of those people that watches and then fills up? Isn't it a Wednesday or a Thursday? See, obviously I'm not because I'm not that organised.
The cycle is so irregular. It used to be like that, but now the cycle is just all over the place. It's supposed to be tied to the Singapore oil price. Sorry, I had this conversation with these boys yesterday, and they said, why does this cycle exist? I said, nobody seems to know. It's just they take advantage of us occasionally.
So, Ed, what is your fuel? Do you have a fuel strategy?
I have to be honest, I am foolish. I never think ahead. And then I'm one of those people that shouts when I get there. Also because, and I don't know, I always name them, but I don't know if I should, but the one near me, which happens to be near the Forex Brewery, happens to be the most expensive fuel.
It's because it's got a McDonald's attached to it.
Yeah, and they can.
It's a scorcher. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know why, but it always seems to be 10 cents more than everybody, and they've never got cheap Chiquitos. I don't know what they're doing in there, but they're certainly
the closest
making
you
money.
Think about them, and we won't name them, but they're the last servo before you get to the city. And you go, I don't want to be stopping on the way home. I better get some on the way in.
Let's go. What is your fuel strategy? If you have a fuel strategy, I'm just having a look at Fuel Watch here. It looks like the poor people of Carindale are copping it really over 143 from what I can see here. Anyone in Fernie
Grove? Are we just
Grove?
Talking ULP 98, like the premium ULP?
Yeah, well, 91.
I don't know about 91. It's cheaper.
Hey, Bill.
G'day, Bill.
Hey, how you going?
Yeah, what do you do, mate? What's your fuel strategy?
I've got a couple. I use the 7-Eleven fuel app, so that tells me where fuel's the cheapest at the time as well.
But only at 7-Eleven stations.
Yeah, it's only 7-Eleven stations on that one, yes. But also I've got one called Gas Buddy.
Oh, I haven't heard that. Ooh, what does that do?
It's the same scenario, but it gives you 7-Eleven, BP, Puma. It gives you all of them in the area that you're actually in. So you just hit location services when you would put it on, obviously,
and
it'll search the area for about a kilometre or so.
How often do they update it, Bill?
I'm not sure, but I was on the other day because I had to fuel up my wagon, and it was pretty accurate for what was where I was.
Yeah, nice.
So they must actually updated all the time. But the best part of 7-Eleven as well, too, is if you do go to 7-Eleven, they give you My Offers. So you get, the other day I thought I'll have a look at My Offers, and I got, a bag of snakes for $2 instead of $4. So,
hey! It's the little wins, Bill. It's the little wins. Buddy. Danielle?
Morning.
What's your fuel strategy? Well, first of all, tell us how many kilometres a week you drive.
Okay.
Four?
I do school runs.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I use fuel because I sit there, the car ain't moving because, I don't know, people don't know how to merge into traffic around the schools and, just turns into a nightmare. But I have a theory.
Yeah.
And my theory is that if you keep your car fuel above that half a tank, it seems to last longer. Because, once it gets under half a tank, the fuel just seems to disappear.
You're right, Danielle. Every vehicle I've owned, I agree. It seems to go quicker after you get to halfway. Or is that only a psychological thing?
I don't know. But I just reckon just keep it above half a tank and, you're $20, $20, $20, and you're always just $20.
That's pretty good, Danielle.
I like that strategy.
Like that a lot. Thank you, Danielle.
And Nathan of North Lakes, what's your fuel strategy?
G'day, guys. Side up to Costco.
Ooh.
There at North Lakes, what do they do? They've got a servo or something?
Yeah, mate. They've got their own independent servo. They've got a massive store that sells everything from, phones, batteries, food, their own butchery, the whole lot. And, they're independent gas servo. So you pump it yourself.
So does that mean, though, that you can only fill up at Costco at North Lakes?
Correct. So you pay $60 a year membership.
Yeah.
So obviously, if you're not paying much, using much fuel, it's not worth it, but you pay $60 a year membership and you get a little card and you go in there and just do your thing, mate.
But, do your thing, mate. But how much is it at the moment?
Well, I just filled up my Colorado this morning diesel. It was $1.27 a litre. E10 was $1.17 a litre. And, it's generally 15 cents minimum cheaper than any other fuel server.
Over a year, you've probably made your money back there, you would imagine. Yeah. Thank you, Nathan. Excellent work. Robin, you are part of the all-new Triple M. Marto's got a brand new pair of Terry Towling shorts for you, which look absolutely rancid already. But one of the best parts about the all-new Triple M is the Sporting Probe with Roy and HG on your radio and on your podcast. Hello, Roy. Hello, HG.
Yes. Good morning, everyone in Brisbane. Tremendous to be with you so early in the new year. And I heard you talking about the Asian Slam earlier. Yes. That was just tremendous. Those ideas, they're great.
What do you think about that, HG? In all seriousness, Roy, the tennis takes too long of a night. The Big Bash is killing it. MKR's about to come back on, thankfully, mercifully.
What?
But the towels during the games, they take minutes. They take minutes of gameplay away.
Well, I think you need to look at the picture as a whole. You know, the towel is so important, and you know how often has the towel been crucial in a point? You know, thrown at the wrong time. I think Nick Kyrgios got into trouble once when he wanted a towel when he shouldn't have had it during the game or something like that, and during the actual game play, not the match itself. And you know, then there was all to do, and you know, I remember in the old days, Henri Leconte could do very funny things with a towel. I just think we need to bring out more. Or towel work and get people used to the idea. I mean, who thought that, you know, illuminated bales would work in the Big Bash? People love that. I don't know what Roy thinks about the towel. I think the trouble is you've hit a telling point. The standard of commentary without Bruce is appalling.
Well, I think that's right. I think that is the missing ingredient from this year's Australian Open. But the thing is, you can't force tennis to be something that it's not. I mean, they've tried it with the fast four, or whatever it was called. It was just rubbish. If anything, I'd go back to and try and reinforce the great things about tennis. It's slowness.
Oh, God.
dwell more. Have more
down.
Time between points.
Slow it down.
Just stretch it out a little more. Try to turn the weakness into a strength. I think that's where I'd be going. Have more emphasis on the commentary, and maybe get a bit of crowd involvement. You know, have a little bit of talkback going on with people in the audience who are actually there. I mean, I think there are ways of approaching tennis to bring it into the 21st century. Yeah. And certainly, as Robin has pointed out, sending it to China is not going to be it. Because if anyone would bugger up tennis forever, it would be the Chinese.
Yeah. Having said that, though. Can I just say the Asian Slam needs to be mindful that it can't be in Melbourne forever. I mean, I believe Melbourne Cup will eventually be run in Vietnam. And that it will be obviously at a track in Saigon or Ho Chi Minh City, I call it. And, you know, so on. I just think these events are too big to contain in Australia. Yeah. And we're looking at a great realignment of trading blocks in the world at the moment with Mr. Trump in the White House now. Yeah. And let's not forget the AFL and the Big Bash are both playing events in China in the coming year. I think the Big Bash is going up there at the start of the season. Oh, and as we know, Port Power is taking the AFL to Shanghai, I think, sometime in March. But once China and Asia generally gets a sniff of what we've got down under, it's going to be hell for leather to keep them in Australia.
I think that's right.
You two fans of the Big Bash?
We love it.
Love the Big Bash. Yeah, it's just... It's a bit
too long.
Too long, yes.
You know, we love it when one side gets 36 and it's all over by about, you know, the first half hour.
Yeah, if it could be over in an hour, that'd be great. 30 minutes batting either side. And maybe an over is reduced to two balls. Those balls become really important.
And can I point out the key thing that we think would be an improvement? If people at home could ring up Marky Mark Howard on Channel 10 and ask to be put through to a player who's mic'd up and can answer the question.
Oh, my God.
And I think that would illuminate it incredibly. And the other thing, of course, is we believe that batters should be able to take talk back while they're actually batting. This idea of only talking to fielders is dead wrong. Australian men can walk and talk at the same time. They can also run and bat and talk at the same time.
There's so many ideas and so many more ideas to be explored.
When are they on?
The Sporting Probe on Saturday mornings on Triple M. And then, of course, you can find the podcast after that. Roy and HG, it is wonderful to have you back at Triple M.
Thanks, team.
Hey, Ed and Rob, I probably shouldn't talk about it, but I found myself driving the kids to Australia. Parties yesterday and all their mates. There was a little bit of teenage preloading went on at our place, and then they went to their proper parties.
Okay.
We used to hold the Australia Day party, and it was a schmozzle, cleaning up and getting rid of all those drunken knuckleheads. But now they're 18, you know, they're late, moving into late teens. They went to their parties. Thank God, not at my house. But they made me, while I was driving there, I was listening to their Hot 100 on Triple J.
Oh, yeah.
Shouldn't talk about this, I suppose, but who gives a stuff?
It's well, I was listening to the Triple M countdown of the grousest Aussie
grousest
albums
50
ever.
Aussie albums?
Yeah.
So, was I, but I got just, shouted no, down in the car.
Just, hang on a sec. I just want to have that clearly stated. So can you send that to our bosses, please, Brendan?
Yeah, big time. Yeah, no,
Ed and Marto were listening to it until Marto got distracted by his children.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
And you're going to whinge about...
All right. No. Well, I rang Harry about my son about 7:30. I said, "When are you getting home from this party? You got, yeah, you know, he's got a job interview this morning." He said, "Yeah, he'll be home soon. I'm in charge of the music, and number one's going to be on soon." So I ended up getting back to it.
Right.
There's a bloke off it playing a laptop. Got the Hot 100 number one.
Flume.
Now,
35
years ago, I used to listen to the Hottest 100, and you know, all good. Just listen all day and sit in a pool and we'd wee ourselves, and that'd be a great day. Australia Day. Yeah,
what a wonderful day.
Oh, all right. But now, that used to be when bands would win it. When Powderfinger, who 9 times were in the top 10 over the years, now there's a bloke playing a laptop is the number one song in Australia. Is that where we're at? That'll do me. That
well,
will
that,
do me.
That's what the that's electronic music. Mode.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's you, the whole thing now. Should, that's what they're
exactly.
into.
And should Blinded by the Light have been disqualified that year for having a synthesizer in it?
Hey, good one.
Where do you draw the line? Should, right, should Bon Jovi be withdrawn because of that wah wah wah?
Computer music. On the computer music's where I draw the line. Yeah,
both bands that have never made the Hottest 100.
I don't know, mate. I'm trying to think of old bands that use technology.
Yeah, I got you. I feel you.
But were you okay that Beyonce made it in, that Guy Sebastian made it in, that Kanye
what?
West made
were
it in?
Were they in? What made
yeah.
it in where?
Justin Bieber, there was, and this was only because my kids were going cool. off about it last night around the dinner table. Yeah, Justin cool. Bieber wasn't himself in, but it was a cover of a Justin Bieber song.
You're kidding.
No.
Oh, so well, all those ones, okay? Fancy
but,
ones are in?
Yeah, but
they're... Not in the top 10?
No, not in the top 10. Right. And Flume...
How did Casey Donovan go?
Not well.
No. She got a lot, mate. She got a big surge factor when she was driving Uber yesterday. She got a lot of 2.5 surge.
I think she got as many votes as Altie and Childs yesterday.
Oh, right,
so.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Beautiful.
Anyone?
What?
No, nothing.
Has anyone the courage to say the Hot 100 was crap yesterday?
No, come on, mate.
You just did, Marto. Okay.
It was nonsense.
No, very good. Marto's had his
say
on music.
Wake up yourself. Welcome to Frunday, I think we decided. Did we make a decision? It's Monday and a Friday, and then next thing you know, we got a weekend. Is everyone happy?
I'm in like a time warp, because last night I was at a Australia Day barbecue, and at about 3 o'clock it suddenly occurred to me that I had to get uniforms sorted. I need to make sure there was enough food in the fridge for lunches, because the next day was a school day.
Yeah, it was a slightly odd day, but Marta, I'm okay with it. I thought I had a day off yesterday, which I normally wouldn't have, which is nice. I feel refreshed.
I'm so
today.
Happy. Me too.
I was sort of fine with it. And then we were talking about, this is for us, it's a novelty to have a broken week like this, Robin. So you work a few days, have a day off, and then you come back to work, and then you got the weekend.
That's my ideal, Ed.
Is it? Oh,
that
like
will
a
be
win.
When I transition into semi-retirement. My ideal will be to work, have every Wednesday off. I don't know what occupation, probably building something, but work 2 days, have a day off, work 2 days, have 2 days off, work 2 days, have a day off. How good would life be?
Okay, so that would mean that you would work on a Saturday, have Sunday off?
No. Didn't you hear that? Work Monday, Tuesday, have a day off.
Slow.
Work 2 days.
Righto.
That's Thursday, Friday.
Okay.
Have every weekend off. So you become like a normal person, but you're not working Wednesdays. So I think some doctors do that, don't they?
Ah, that's excellent. Yes, you're right. They have specialists
Wednesdays.
And stuff like that. Have a day off during the week. Oh, they're not in on Tuesdays or whatever it is that they say. That's
yeah,
very
but what
true.
About all those people that don't have like two consecutive days off? So, like hairdressers, for example, will work on a Saturday and then have Sunday, but they have to have some sort of stuff on a Monday, so they might have a Wednesday off. Yeah. That would be hard.
Oh, so they don't have Sunday, Monday off. They'll have a Sunday and a Wednesday.
Yeah. Would
well,
you like
bad.
That?
Yeah, that'd do me.
You'd be okay with that?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'd like that. Would you like that? I mean, you get stuff done. You could go and pay bills and be like really, you know, get all your sort of approved stuff done.
Oh, you're still
on
working 5 days a week, but your 2 days are
separate.
You've
got a split.
Well, that's pretty
split,
weird. Who else would do that?
I don't know.
It's worth asking. Let's find out. If you are a person that has a split working week, like permanently, if not just on the weird day like where there's a public holiday in the middle of the week, if you every week of your work or every 2 weeks if you've got a 2 week roster, if you have, you know, non-consecutive days off, if you have a broken work week, maybe you got Monday and Thursday off, maybe some weeks it's Friday and Tuesday. I don't know. I'm making it up. I'd love to know what types of jobs and what type of life it is to have a permanently broken up week like we're having this week. Eva from North Lakes. Now, Eva, what do you do?
I'm a registered nurse, so we're constantly having broken weeks all the time in different shifts.
You do have different shifts. You don't always do the night shift or the afternoon shift or all the rest of it. It all switches around all the time.
It all switches around. So that's when your family's all off, you're working, unfortunately. Public holidays, you're working.
Yeah, that's annoying. So what days do you normally have off then, Evie? What's your, you know, if you had to have a, like a regulation sort of week, like a Monday and a Thursday, or what do you get?
I normally get every second weekend sometimes if my boss is feeling really nice and generous. Otherwise, I'll have maybe a Wednesday or a Thursday off, or I'll have maybe a Friday, Saturday off. Yeah, it just all depends on everyone's rosters and whether we all work out.
And is it, Bennett, like, do you enjoy, things that you can do with that split weekend that the rest of us can't?
It does. It works well because, like, you can get to the shop and you can do all your bills and all your bits and pieces through the weekdays, and you don't have those massive lines like on Saturday mornings or late afternoons because you've got that daytime to go through, and the shopping centres are nice and quiet sometimes.
Hey, Eva, can I put one to you? You do 8-hour shifts, don't you?
I do 8-hour shifts most of the time, but in short staff, we sometimes do up to 18 hours. So.
Yeah, why wouldn't you do 3 12-hour shifts and have your week over in 3 days?
Because a lot of the nursing areas don't actually do 12-hour shifts. It's only specialty areas, like EDs at the moment are starting to bring them back in, but apart from that, they don't really do them anywhere else.
Well, we love nurses. Thanks, Eva.
Yes, we do. Thank you, Eva.
No props, guys.
Thank you for your service.
And Paul of Burpengary, do you have a broken week?
Yeah.
What do you do?
I drive a truck. We get days off when we can get them.
What are you, interstate or around Brisbane?
No, around Brizzy.
Yeah, but
but we sort of get a day off when we got no work to do. We've got guys relying on us for what we do. Yeah. So we just get the days off when are left.
Yeah, you don't get to decide what days you get off. Somebody tells you randomly and sometimes very late, which is tough to organise your life.
That's pretty correct.
And so, Paul, you find out you got a day off the next day. You go, all right, got a day off the next day. What do you do? What's the first thing you think of doing?
Oh, mate, go down and work in my shed. Is it like when I've got a day off, there's sort of no one around to go do anything with. So we just go and, I just go and hang in the shed, but...
nothing wrong with that.
That makes me slightly sad. So, Paul, in a month, how many days off would you have?
At the moment, probably none.
Really?
Oh, Paul. Jeez, that shed's going to be neglected.
But that's life, working at Brisbane Airport or, driving a truck, like, they're no different. The guys there are overworked anyway, so.
Paul, can we go back? Because these two are quite worried about us. Well, I'm putting myself in your vein. It's quite fun in our sheds, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, mate, that's isolation. Like, you just go in there and just get away from the world.
We've had enough of all you blokes. We want to go to our shed.
But don't you want to go to it more often?
You got to have a man cave to get away from everybody.
Oh, no. If you go down to your shed too often, people say, oh, there's something wrong with him. But if you just go down there to escape occasionally, it's okay. Yeah.
Paul,
Marto, you should know better.
I do. Paul, a Hoppy's hand wash cafe voucher for you. Put your feet up. Let someone else wash your car, huh?
When heels do it.
No worries.
Robin Roulette.
There it is. Robin Roulette, the way this works, get to know you a little bit better, Robin. You've got three facts about you in front of you. One of them you've made up, two of them are correct, and if you can pick the one that's incorrect, you're going to win the prize. And first things first, it's Jono from Paddington. Jono, say hello to Robin.
G'day, Robin. How are you?
Yeah, well, good. Thank you, Jono. You're feeling confident?
Feeling confident, mate. Welcome to Triple M. Good to have you.
Oh, thanks very much, Jono. Very kind. Okay, let me give you these scenarios and you pick the one that is not correct. Okay, you ready?
Here we go.
I have three tattoos of a star, of angel wings, and of a robin. But it's not where they. It's not what they are. It's where they are that's important.
Are they together?
No. No.
Is it a 5 or 6 point star?
5.
Okay. Did you hear how quickly she answered there, Jono?
Yeah, I did, mate.
What did you make of that? If you're a detective and you brought her in for questioning, how do you reckon she went?
I reckon she'd pass on that.
Righto. Scenario number two. My boys and I travel to Canada for a ski trip every second year, which has been a tradition in our family for 10 years.
You thinking what I'm thinking, Jono? Wankers?
Don't
you hate how they put it on Facebook, all those people who go to Whistler?
Oh, mate, it's... Wouldn't you rather go somewhere else after you've gone about three or four times in a row?
Yeah. Good question. That's why Bali was invented, Jono. So
you need to go there once or twice.
Okay, Jono, the third scenario. My grandmother wrote a book she wrote it in the 40s, and it got turned into a miniseries in the 80s starring Rebecca Gibney and Gary Sweet.
Ooh. What?
Sweetie. All right.
Jono, what are you
thinking of that, Jono?
That could just about be true, that one.
Are you a big follower of Australian TV?
No.
Sweetie. What's Sweetie been in? Ed, you're the expert.
Where do I? Do you, yeah, do in the I, 80s, do I really need to do this? I could be here all day. Let's not worry about that.
So what are the three? We've got the tattoo stories, three tattoos. Yes. We've got going to Canada every 2 years with your kids and is that it?
And then the grandmother writing a book that got turned into a miniseries. What do you reckon, Jono?
I reckon it's a Canada.
Thank God, yes, it is. I've never been to Canada. And I certainly wouldn't be going back every 2 years. Oh, my God, nice. Can you imagine how expensive that would be? Yeah.
I like that. That's well played, Jono, well spotted. But let's get back to these tattoos.
Okay.
Tell us more about those, please.
Okay, so I have a five-pointed star on my wrist. And I actually got that done with a girlfriend of mine. She wanted to get a tattoo and she was too scared, so I went with her.
Nice.
And that represented the five members of my family.
Ah, cute.
Okay, yeah. I have a pair of angel wings.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Thursday style.
He's got all over his bag.
I know.
Mine are just little ones under my hairline. And I have a robin on the inside of my ankle.
Oh, your name. As in the bird.
As in the bird.
Name.
I have a robin. And the reason why these are important is that they have to be hidden. So the star goes under my watch strap, the angels go behind my hair, and you know, if you wear pants and stuff, you can hide the robin, because I do some corporate gigs and sometimes people don't like.
Yeah, but it's only a robin. It's not like a flaming skull, burning through the gates of hell.
Barbed wire around your neck.
Where do people get that stuff?
Job stoppers.
I don't understand. Yeah, the job stoppers.
Oh, they get them. Don't worry.
Anyway, so that is true.
We've still got Jono on. Did he win anything?
Yes, Jono, you have won. You are going to come with me to the Chairman's Lounge to see the Brisbane Roar take on the Western Sydney Wanderers.
Tomorrow night.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
No, but here's the thing.
Oh, how good. You can go to Jono's place and get a park. He lives in Paddington. Unreal.
Here's the thing, Jono, and I've been kind of saying this all week. Because it's in a corporate area and there'll be lots of, eating and drinking and lovely stuff, do you have a partner?
Yes.
What's her name?
Susan.
Would she like to come to the Roar too?
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, I'll give it a crack.
Come on, give it a really good go, Jono. Because the thing is, right, if you go in a corporate box and you get bored with what's happening on the pitch, you can just go and get another drink.
Yeah. Go and have a drink.
So I'm suggesting that this is a great way to actually have some couple time.
Wow.
She gets to have a, dress up and look lovely, and you get to watch some
sport. Is there a mate who'd rather come? Because I'd say Susan probably wants to stay and watch the Big Bash little final, does she?
Oh, not really into sport, mate.
Yes,
you'll find
that.
Someone. You will find someone, Jono. All right, good on you, mate. Well played. Well played with Robin Roulette. Excellent work. Brisbane Roar, guys, they are close. I reckon they might just be able to do it this year in the A-League. Marta, I remember you and I went to that fantastic grand final when they beat the Wanderers.
Can they score enough goals, Ed? Can they score enough goals?
Excellent question, but the man whose job it is to stop the goals, Michael Theo Roar, goalkeeper. Morning, Theo.
Morning, guys.
Well, first one, how old are you?
I'm 35, Ed.
You're 35?
For a particular reason.
Yeah, I've no, only
and
because...
a little titchy about it, methinks.
Well, because you're in great form and you're in excellent physical shape, and we're seeing in the tennis that it's the 34 and the 36 year olds that are having success. So for anyone that's listening right now who's in their mid-30s, any of our listeners, what's one tip that you can give Michael Theo for staying so trim and in shape in your 30s?
Just discipline, I suppose, over a number of years, and the desire to keep on wanting to win things. So that's a bit of a two, I'd say.
Do you drink beer or eat chips?
Unfortunately, I don't. Yeah,
that may be a tip.
So you don't drink at all?
No, Robin, and I'd like to say welcome, first of all.
Thanks.
Have you on the Triple M team. At least we've got someone who knows about football now on the team. So that's great.
Do you know about her sons? She's got three outstanding soccer-playing sons.
I know, but I've met the boys. They're fanatical Brisbane Roar supporters. So it's fantastic to have them there on a weekly basis. So it's great.
Yeah, I get commentary because, you know, you were injured a bit last season and the boys were very upset that if you weren't going to be there, they often didn't want to go.
Oh, wow.
That's the poor boys. I like that. No. It's great to see the boys. But, I'd rather be on the pitch. But, of course, that was a frustrating little period for me.
Hey, listen, you had three home games in the next 7 days. How do you guys handle that? How many of an old bloke like you play?
Yeah, again, it just depends how we all pull up. And, you know, that's why we've got such a great squad because everyone's going to be needed. And, as you say, 7 days, three games, it's going to be pretty full on. So it's just going to be one game at a time. And, hopefully, whoever's starting will do a job. And the boys coming off the bench as well will have a real impact on the games.
It's going to be great. It's this Suncorp Stadium, Saturday night. It's the grand final rematch from a couple of years ago versus the Wanderers. And if you'd like to go along, Theo very kindly has given us some tickets. 1-3-5-3. Robin, I believe you're going along.
I am going along and my kids are going along, but I can give you a bit of a fact about Theo and I that we are connected forevermore.
Yeah.
My kids were involved in a promo shoot for The Roar a couple of years ago.
Oh my goodness.
And it was Theo's then girlfriend who was acting as their mother in the shot.
Jeez. I remember that, Robin. That was year one. Jeez, I've been here for 7 years. You're right, and that's my wife now.
There you go. Yes. I was going to say, are you married, and do you have any of your own children yet?
We don't as yet. It's on the cards, but geez, that was a long, long time ago, and I remember that photo shoot. We actually spoke about it yesterday. It was unbelievable.
Well, there you go. Small world. All right, Theo, best of luck, mate. Nice to have you with us. 1-3-5-3 if you want to go along and see The Roar.
Thanks, guys.